Radio.
And with From the Pavilion, here's Ollie Slag.
Good afternoon, Julian. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm very sorry to be leaving at this point, but I guess I can listen at home.
Which is, yeah, exactly. Which is quite good. And hopefully contribute as well. So we'll get to the headlines. And Cambridgeshire have won this for the second time this season in the Unicorns Championship with a day to spare against Buckinghamshire yesterday. James Williams joins us on the phone. And in the EAPL, both Cambridge and Burwell and Exning won their matches this weekend as they sit side by side in 7th and 6th in the table. And in with skipper Dan Sherlock joins us in the studio with a trophy as his side won the 2020 Walker Cup this weekend. So, Dan, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. Let's get straight to it. As this, when we spoke last weekend on the phone, you were hoping to enjoy the finals day and have a good time. But how much did you expect to have this shiny looking trophy sitting on the desk with you now?
I mean, to be honest, we thought we were in with a good shout. We've played against all the other teams before, but you never know what's going to happen on the day. So, yeah, we did just we turned up. I got a bit of a hammering from the boys from saying how much we're looking forward to it and how much we're going to just enjoy the day. But I think we did it in the end, and I think by winning it, that's the best way to do it. So yeah, we're really chuffed with it.
I was going to say it worked, and just to recap, the people who don't know, at Sawson Cricket Club on Sunday, it was the finals of the CCA 2020 Walker Cup. Needingworth beat Cambridge NCI in one semi-final, and Abingdon beat Cherry Hinton in the other, and then Needingworth went on to win the cups. We'll start with the first semi-final, Dan, and batting first, scoring 163 for 6. You won by 7 runs as you bowled NCI out for 156. Yourself and George Smith got the side off to a pretty decent start, 46 for not 4 overs. How much do you take notice of the pitch? I mean, first up on a bat that to bat in that on a wicket that no one's played on. Out of any of the teams in the finals day, how much are you sort of judging the wicket as you go along, or is it because it's such a short format T20 there isn't much time really to do that?
Well, it's a bit of both, really. I mean, we've batted first in every game we've played so far in the T20, and also we did have a quick look at the results that came in on Sunday, and it was a very low scoring game at Sawston. Mm-hmm. So we've played there before. We knew it would turn later on. And it's usually more suitable to slower bowlers. But I think for us, T20, we're just happy to get runs on the board. And then, you can set your field to how you want to like it, put some pressure on the batsman, and then, just hopefully take early wickets when you're fielding and just take it from there, really.
And that start, 46 for not 4, was halted slightly with when the first wicket fell in the fifth over, but Lee Smith came in and continued... continued to work the tempo of, and he finished on 61. So how important was his knock?
Yeah, George and Lee both batted brilliant. I mean, Lee's been so consistent for us for the last 4 or 5 years, and he's been brilliant in the T20 Cup. He hasn't played too many games this year, but he was so reliable, and just during those middle overs when the game tends to just slow down for a little bit of a lull. But I think even at the 15th over, we were going at almost 10 and over, and when we just sort of stuttered towards the end of the innings, just sort of got over the line to get 160, which we knew would be a decent total. But George and Lee just set it up so well for the rest of the boys who came in and had a go at the end, but it didn't really come off, and he just sort of stuttered over the line. But yeah, we were more than happy with 160. We knew that it'd be a decent total and something that we could defend.
And then. Well, I was going to say, to be fair, that once it looked a decent total, considering all the scores across all the both semi-finals and the final around that mark, but you lost regular wickets, like you said, throughout those back 10 overs, and at one stage probably was looking like 200, but you settled for 160. But then to come out and take early wickets when NCI were batting as well, that must have pleased you. Pretty much 37 for 2 off 5 NCI were, so that would have pleased you as well.
Oh, definitely. I think we did that really well throughout that semi-final. We just took regular wickets. They did almost squeeze themselves back into their game. Their number 9, I think, got 30 odd. They were about 97 for 7. They did have a couple of overs where they thought they might get close, but we controlled the last five overs really well. And George came on towards the end of the game. He hasn't really bowled a lot this year, but he was brilliant at those last few overs, and Scott Walton took 3 wickets. And I think in a T20, if you keep taking wickets, the run rate tends to follow that, and we managed to keep them under 7, 8 and over, and we knew that we'd probably end up winning by a few runs in the end.
And as well as taking wickets, every bowler apart from one went for 8 or less in their first over when they came on to bowl. How much does that sort of settle them into the game, knowing that they're not chasing well to the next over if they've gone for 15 or 16 in the first?
I think that's the thing. I think even if you do go for quite a lot of runs, I think that in a T20 you're going to get 3 or 4 overs where the batsmen are going to score at 10 plus and over perhaps. I think we said it before the game, we just said want to stay calm, don't worry about what the opposition are doing, and then just focus on the next over and just take it, you know, almost over by over, and then just try and manage the game that way.
Mm. And despite the squeezing at the end, NCR needed 16 off 12 for a spot in the final. She must have been sweating a bit at that point.
I think so. I can't remember when it was. It was either the 16th or the 17th over where they got... they got quite a few, and then I think Lee Smith run out their guy that was fairly well set. Mm. So I think once we'd got that wicket, we felt relatively safe. But yeah, there was a couple of balls towards the end. We thought surely we haven't quite thrown this away and let them back in. But yeah, no, fortunately we managed to squeeze home.
And what were you saying to your bowlers at that point then? If you're walking over to them and having a bit of a pep talk to them, if potentially they are going for runs towards the end, are you just saying back your skills and do what you've been doing most of the tournament?
Yeah, I think that's it. I mean, you know, you do, it's a T20, you expect to go for a few. I think you just try and get the last ball out of your head. If you go for a boundary, just try and forget about it as quickly as possible and just focus on the next ball, really, and just bowl your lengths. It was quite a slow wicket, so the slower bowlers did benefit from it, but you know, anything short just sat up, and you know, you did tend to go to the fence. But yeah, I think just worry about what's coming up. You can't do anything about what's already been before, so yeah, just keep going, keep doing the same thing.
So you got over the line, and then the second semi-final took place. How did you watch that? Did you just again sit back and enjoy it, or did you analyse it at all, or were you rooting for anyone?
Not really. I think you know, we were just happy to be in the final, and you just play against whoever you know deserves to be there. So to be honest, we didn't really watch a lot of it. It was, you know, first game kicked off at 10 o'clock, so by 1 o'clock it's getting really hot. We just thought we'll just nip down the road, get something to eat, and just go and sit in the pavilion for a little bit and just forget about cricket, because you know the final didn't start till 4:45, so you're thinking you're going to be sick of it by the end of it. So we just took an hour away from the game, watched the end of the Cherry Hinton innings, and then just sort of started getting ready for the final and started thinking about what we wanted to do. So yeah, just tried to, we didn't pay too much attention to that other game, to be honest.
And then going into the final, another fast start, 44 for 0 off 4. George Smith continued that and in the end got for 43 off 28. Did he and yourself, who opened the bat, and have a licence to go big up top?
I think so, because we haven't batted together too much this season. We only moved George up to the order probably about 5 or 6 weeks ago for the Saturday games, and he's been brilliant ever since then. But he just got such a good eye, and then any bowler misses their line at all, and he was just smashing it all over the place. So he batted really well, set the tone. Disappointed not to get a few more myself, but you know, to set the team up like that, to be going at 10 and over, just takes the pressure off the middle overs, where you can just sort of milk the bowlers and knock it about, and not have to put pressure on yourself to go and chase the boundaries. And then Lee just carried on from where we were, and then I think we paced this innings a lot better. It was a lot more regular runs that came. We didn't really struggle too much in many of the overs. Ed, one spinner that bowled really well, and he tied us down for a little bit. But apart from that, we continued to score quite freely. And again, we knew that anything sort of 150, 160 odd would be a good total on that pitch and something that we could defend.
Mm. And then this time you say you kept wickets in hand and managed to pose a similar score, 166 for 5. And after the travel with Julian, we'll be discussing the second innings and how you managed to bring this very lovely-looking shiny trophy in. So welcome back to From the Pavilion, and we'll continue the chat with Dan Sherlock now, who joins us in the studio from Needingworth Cricket Club, who won the Walker 2020 Cup on Sunday. So we'll continue chat. We got to the second innings before the travel of Abington in the final. And yes, yeah, so there was two wickets from yourself to get rid of the openers for runnable scores. And Abington won about 67 for 5. So that must have felt a pretty comfortable point in the game where you had a decent feeling, you had a real chance of winning it.
Yeah, we've played against them before, so we know they've got some big hitters down the order. So we never really felt too comfortable, which I think was a good thing to have in the final, to never really want to let off. So we took early wickets, and we sort of took wickets in bunch as well, which really helped us out. So yeah, it was nice to get a couple of wickets for myself. There was a couple of dobbly little off spinners that pop straight back up to the bowler.
Never dobbly.
Well, no, yeah, I know. They're sort of the worst ones when they come back that slowly, and you think, I couldn't possibly drop this, especially when their DJ from Sawston was ready with music on cue for every drop of Misfield, so it did go through my head. But yeah, we took wickets, and then to be honest, they had two batters come in who played really well down the order, who dragged them back into the game really, and then just set it up for them. And then fortunately we managed to finish off in the last couple of overs, so yeah, no, it was a good one in the end. But yeah, but nervous towards the end of the game, and yeah, just really, really, really hoping that we could get over the line. Unfortunately, we did. So, yeah, no, it was brilliant.
Yeah, and you mentioned one of the overs there, an 18-run over in the 19th, meant 12 from 6. You shot, well, almost shot yourself in the foot again. Again, you missed two games in a row. Don't make it easy for yourself.
No, but, well, I've made the bowling change as well. It made it even worse. So
everyone was looking at you.
I thought rather than leave a bowler on, I thought I'd just change it up and then make it a bit different, a bit harder for the batsman. But I think the first ball went for 4, and they dropped the second ball down, and it went over my head for 6. And at that point, I was thinking, yeah, they're getting closer. I think they need 30 off 2. And then, yeah, they got down to 11 off the last over. So at the start of the last over, it was really in the balance. And then George bowled really well, and their guy was on 40-odd, I think, and he hit the ball straight to deep cover. So that was a massive wicket for us. And that was the first time I thought we might win it. And then 10 off the last 2, and then I think they ran a 2 or something, so they needed 8 off the last ball. So that finally I thought I could relax. I thought, yeah, just hit the pitch, just do anything. And anything, yeah. But yeah, fortunately, but George was brilliant. I mean, 4 for 17 in a T20 game is ridiculous. Yeah. So yeah, no, it was brilliant. And then it was just on with the celebrations, really.
I was going to say, and just then finally, just some of your thoughts to, as a club as a whole, really, as first team captain representing the club, how it feels to bring home this trophy. And considering, like you said, last week you got to the finals day a couple of times and missed out, so it must mean a lot.
That's brilliant, yeah. I mean, you know, there's loads of the boys have played for this club since we were 9 years old, so we've been through everything, nearly folded in 2007. So, you know, you've been through it all, and it's the best competition for a village team to win. You know, we finished second in the league last year and then had both playoff games rained off, so that was a bit of a downer. And then we have, you know, struggled in the league this year, so you know, T20 became our main focus, and you know, it's one we've always wanted to win. We've got close a couple of times, we know how it feels to lose it, so yeah, more than happy. And then yeah, grab the cup and get down to the pub as quickly as we can on Sunday night for a quick couple. But yeah, no, it was brilliant, absolutely chuffed.
I was going to say, the celebrations haven't lasted too long. Are you back working today then?
I was back working on Monday, so yeah, not too long. So we stayed for a couple. Fortunately, the landlady at the pub left the last bell a bit later than normal, so we got a couple of jugs in and then yeah, made our way home. But no, it was brilliant. And you know, as soon as you win it, you just want to win it again. So looking forward to next year already, really.
Brilliant. Well, thank you, Dan. We'll hopefully continue the chat a bit later on. But now, joining us on the phone is James Williams, the Cambridgeshire Cricket Club captain. So thanks for joining us, James.
No, not a problem.
So we'll just talk you through the game that's taken place over the last few days. It's your fourth game in the Unicorns Championship against Buckinghamshire. Just for those who aren't aware, Buckinghamshire won the toss and were bowled up for 174. Cambridgeshire responded with 194, all out 50s from Callum Guest and Lee Thomason. Buckinghamshire then bowled out again for 165 in the second innings, setting Cambridgeshire a target of 146 to win, and Cambridgeshire chased it down with 2 wickets remaining yesterday, giving them a day off today. So James, just take you back to the toss, and I remember we spoke last time on your phone, the last game versus Staffordshire, you didn't mind losing the toss. Both pretty low scores in the first thing, but how did you feel this week after losing the toss at home on a Fenner's wicket?
Yeah, we were a little bit disappointed, to be honest. We wanted to have a bat first because we knew that the wicket probably wasn't going to be up to the standard that we were expecting, so we didn't really want to bat last on it. But you know, our boys bowled fantastically well first day and got us into a really good position.
Yeah, I was going to say, Buckinghamshire 14 for 2, and you must be delighted with how you bowled up top.
Yeah, we bowled brilliant. Sam Riffington and Zaman Akhtar, who made his debut this game, they both bowled fantastically well. You know, Rip's coming back into some form. He struggled recently, but he bowled fantastically throughout the game.
And I don't want to sound too harsh, really, but I mean, the second game in the running, there's a target where you bowled a side out pretty cheaply in the first innings and then haven't really been to massively capitalise when you batted yourselves. Was it the disappointing only getting a lead of 20 after the first innings?
Yes and no. It was a difficult wicket to bat on. It took a lot of spin and they bowled very well. And, you know, Lee Thomason batted fantastically well with the tail to get his 50-odd and get us up to a 20 lead, because at one point we were looking at probably a deficit. So we took a 20 lead, but, yeah, like we said, last two games we had ourselves in a position to kick on and get a big score, but you know, first game we didn't bat so well. This last game, wicket didn't exactly help the batters.
And as you say, Rob Sayre picked up 8 wickets in Buckinghamshire's second innings to bowl them out for 165. Did you have a particular target in mind that you didn't want to chase, or that a target that you were really keen to chase?
We set ourselves, we didn't want to chase too much over 160, to be honest. Like we said, wicket was taking spin, it was deteriorating very fast. So we backed our spinners. We got a fantastic spin attack. You know, Sykes, McMahon and Sayre all played first class, and some still are playing first class cricket. We backed our spinners to take advantage on the wicket and backed our batters to take on their spin attack.
Yeah, and you said nearly over 100 overs of spin was bowled over the 2 days. 14 out of your 20 wickets taken were from spin. So was it the pitch that you say wasn't that great, or was suddenly the roads that have been all across the country in the last few weeks suddenly had a few cracks on them?
Yeah, look, we've had some fantastic weather, some hot weather, and it's a groundsman's nightmare. I'm currently playing on a wicket that's a slightly cracked now. So, the groundsman had a terrible job to try get these flat wickets, and spin bowlers absolutely licking their lips at the minute trying to bowl on these. So, yeah, the wicket just took spin. Renowned Fenners to be absolutely flat, but you know, the weather's not helped the groundsman at all recently.
and it must take good credit to the batsman, actually, in the second innings then, when batting against in pretty tricky conditions then against the spinners. You must be pleased with how you managed to get to the total in the end.
Yeah, really pleased. We showed a lot of fight. We got ourselves in a great position. Naysan at the top there and Gessie got us into a fantastic position, but obviously lost our way a little bit in those middle part there. But you know, we had clear game plans against the spin. I don't think we had a plan against the spinners because we obviously didn't realise it was going to turn as much. Mm. But I think we set about our plans well and executed them well and got us over the line, which was the main thing.
And we spoke last time when you were on the show that it was a must-win game, this one at home at Fenners, and it lifted you to third in the table. So next up is Norfolk on the 19th of August. Is the games now, from now until the end of the season, they all must-wins considering how few fixtures you've got left?
Yeah, definitely. Two wins, a nice local derby against Norfolk at Horsford in a festival game, so there'll be a great crowd in, and you know, it's always a great opportunity to play at a festival at Horsford. Lots of people there, good cricket, and it's always a good contest. But yeah, we need to get two wins and see how we go. Staffordshire at the top, I think they've just drawn against Norfolk. Lincolnshire have won, so still results need to go our way, but you never know.
Yeah, like I say, you can have a massive belief going forward now that you've won the game against Buckinghamshire, and you're going to this Norfolk game, who are, to be fair to the side, they've done well in the shorter formats this season. What can you expect from them in the three-day game?
A lot of spin. we've just had a battle against spin. We're going to have another one. Horsford tend to turn straight from ball one, so it'll be another game where the batters have to work hard and our bowlers have to stand up to the test and hopefully bowl well on another turning wicket.
Yeah, and you can call on the likes of Rob Sayre, James Sykes as well to provide the spin yourself. You've got a mean spin attack.
Yeah, we have. You know, like I said earlier, when you've got a spin attack of McMahon, Sykes and Sayre all playing first-class cricket, and currently some are still playing first-class cricket, you know, they're fantastic bowlers, but they still have to bowl well and put it in the right areas.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for joining us, James. Hopefully, when we speak to you again after the 19th, that'll be another win in the bag.
Hope so. Thanks very much.
Cheers, James.
Cheers.
That was James Williams there, Cambridgeshire Cricket Club captain, after their victory over Buckinghamshire yesterday. So I'll just run you through the scores in the EAPL over the weekend. And Cambridge Cricket Club have made it back-to-back wins for the first time this season after defeating Norwich by 9 runs. The home side were put into bat after losing the toss and posted 177. Christopher Benjamin top scoring with 75. Rajan Singh picked up a fifer for Cambridge in the second week running after taking the first 5 wickets of Norwich's innings. He picked up 2 later on to claim figures of 7 for 21 off 10 overs. Norwich's innings consisted of 5 ducks, and despite 2 batsmen going past 50, Cambridge closed out the game with 10 runs needed for victory, moving up to 7th in the table. Bell Nexting also won on Saturday for the first time in 3 weeks. They took on Vauxhall Mallards at home, and after winning the toss, elected to bat. Wicketkeeper Paul Summerskill made 65 to help the hosts reach 236 in 49.2 overs. And after an ending partnership of 48, Vauxhall then scored 56 runs for the loss of 7 wickets, collapsing to 103, with only 2 batsmen left in the shed. A couple of late partnerships developed but never threatened Bell's total, bowling the opposition out for 176. The win sees Bell stay in 6th but close the gap to the teams above. into the Whiting and Partners divisions now, and we're very lucky to have a match report from Saffron Walden, top of the Whiting and Partners Division 1, and they hammered Kimbolton on the weekend.
The Saffron Walden First 11 continued their run of good form on Saturday with what can only be described as an emphatic win against bottom of the league Kimbolton. In a devastating 10-over spell, Saffron Walden's opening bowler, Ali Hancock, took 8 wickets for only 32 runs. Saffron Walden's tight bowling constrained Kimbolton to 75 all-out after 31 overs. In reply, Saffron Walden's opening batsman, Stephen Larson, and stand-in captain James Rushford overtook Kimbolton's total without loss in just 9 overs, with Rushford making 51 and Larson 22. The win leaves Saffron Walden at the top of Division 1, 5 points ahead of the number 2 side, Sawston and Babraham.
Moving on, Sawston and Babraham just managed to keep the pressure on them, defeating Foxton by 8 runs. After only scoring 101 in the first inning, Sawston managed to bowl their opponents out for 93, and Alex Stafford picking up a 6-for. In Division 2, Cambridge Cricket Club defeated St Ives by 13 runs to stay top of the league, and St Ives have now dropped to third after Cambridge St Giles beat Blenheim by 58 runs. So just quickly for the last final minutes, we'll bring Dan back into the chat and we'll talk England. So going into the test on Thursday, Dan, David Malan has been dropped. He's only averaged 14.8 this year in home conditions. So was it harsh considering that he's going back to his home ground in Lords for the next test, or can you not really afford to carry one when you're playing the number one test side in the world?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's probably the right call. I think Ed Smith's made a lot of... he's made a couple of changes, and he seems to be fairly ruthless with his changes, but I think he knows what he wants from his team, and I think Ollie Pope really deserves a call-up, so I think it's a fair decision. So I don't think Milan can have too many complaints, to be honest. Yeah.
You mentioned Ollie Pope. He's been in terrific form, sorry, in the county championship. 10 innings, 684 runs at an average of 85.5, 3 100s and a high score of 158 not out. 5 Englishmen make up the top 7 of the county division, 1 averages. Rory Burns, Ben Folkes, James Hildreth, James Finch. So why Ollie Pope?
I think they've just... I don't know whether they've just seen something in him. I know he's only a very young guy, so... you know, they'd show they're not scared to pick the young players. I think they've probably looked at what Surrey have done, the players that they've that have come through their academy and stuff. You have to look at what Sam Curran did in the last test match. I think that, you know, it goes with the saying that if you're young enough, you're probably good enough. So, you know, I've watched an awful lot of him, if I'm honest, but I'm sure they know what they're doing, and they've sent their scouts out to have a good look at him, and they probably know his temperament quite well, and, you know, they know what they're going to expect from him. So I think it's an exciting time for cricket, and I think it's something to look forward to. I mean, that last test match is one of the best we've seen for a long time, and I think if you can keep young people involved with it, I think it looks really good going forward.
And just finally, a light for light replacement works in for Stokes. That will just be, I guess, as normal, will it?
I think so. Yeah, I think it's a big loss, isn't it, Ben Stokes? I think how he bowled in that last Test match, he's just one of those people that makes something happen. And I think he will be a big miss, and you could see it from the Ashes where, you know, England weren't anywhere near as good as they were, but they're just missing a bit of fight or a bit of bite in their attack. And I just think, yeah, it'll be hard to replace Stokes, but yeah, I don't know how much cricket Chris Wokes has played this year either with his injuries, but yeah, after the first Test, it's set up quite nicely, and hope the Root and Kohli a bit of banter between them carries on.
Very much so. Dan, thank you for joining us. Just to remind you, Cambridge's next match is on the 19th of August away to Norfolk. The CCA Lower Junior Cup final stays this Sunday at Sawston Cricket Club from 10 if you want to go along to that one. Cambridge Cricket Club travel to Potton Club, Bury St Edmunds and Burnexham host second in the league, Swardston, and the England Test match against India gets underway this week too.